In 2018 and 2019, St. John's Lutheran Church of Northfield, Minnesota is conducting oral histories of its members. My name is Judy Carlson, and today I will be interviewing St. John's members, Joe and Dick Kleber, longtime members of the congregation. Welcome, Joe and Dick. I'm looking forward to hearing your St. John's story. Let's start out by sharing how it is that you came to St. John's. Well?
I was hired by St. Olaf to be part of the mathematics department in 1960. And this was the logical church for us to go to.
Right. And we showed up in September so he could start. And I was very pregnant. And I looked around, and the only other person that was pregnant that I could ever see was Jane Gelly, but she also was. But nothing happened right away, and we actually went to the Christmas concert on December 9th, and I met Don Parker on the steps, and he said, "Are you still carrying that baby?" And I said yes. And then we went to the Christmas concert in the old women's gym, where they had them at that time. And Dick's sister and auntie were with us, and they stayed overnight. And they went home the next morning, and then I could tell it was going to be time. So I went to the hospital and had a baby. And the next day, I was in the hospital, but Dick
this was
and
Saturday.
I joined the church on Sunday, because it was Saturday night we went to the concert.
Friday night, we went to the concert. Saturday, you went to the baby.
The baby came on the 10th of December. We went to the concert on the 9th of December, and then we joined on Sunday.
The 11th.
And I wasn't there. But they let me in anyway.
And right? I assume, I don't know whether they announced at the time that we, the two of us plus Karen,
yeah,
was also joining the church.
Jane joining the church, right. So
at
anyway,
1 day old.
One yeah. day old, right. But I wasn't there. But that was Pastor Bjorn, was the preacher then. And so... So?
And what year was that?
1960,
right.
That's right.
Long time ago.
Anyway. Yes.
But that's, and we had gone to some of the other churches, because I grew up in the Danish church.
Oh.
And that liturgy over there was so familiar at St. Peter's, but St. John's was closer and it was connected to St. Olaf, so, you know, it worked out.
It worked out.
Yeah.
And you mentioned, Dick, that when you came to St. Olaf, do you think it was expected that you'd come to St. John's? You just said it was the right place to be.
Yeah, I had no indication that there was any pressure.
Just seemed natural.
Right. Well, Pastor Bjorn might have called on us. I don't remember that for sure.
No.
Anyway.
And we knew...
But we wouldn't have to drive to the other side of town because we were living on the west side. Right. Right.
But Marie Bjorn was, you know, a friend too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Marie Sathram.
No.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right.
But daughter of Pastor Bjorn.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, and you'd gone to school with her at St. Olaf.
Right.
Right. So a friend.
And a classmate.
Well, one year behind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How has your family been involved at St. John's?
Well,
Sunday school all the way through, yeah.
They're all three were confirmed, but they don't live here. They live in the cities. Mm-hmm. And Richie married an Episcopalian, and his kids went to the church up in the cities. Karen married a Unitarian, and Katie married a Catholic. And
was converted by
volleyball
to become Lutheran.
Right, right.
This church Same. Near them had active
right.
young people group,
right.
including, you know, volleyball off a wall.
Right. Oh, right. volleyball.
just crazy. And
thank you for defining that. I wasn't
yeah, sure.
Yes.
I see. Anyway.
Mm-hmm. But they were involved in Sunday school and
yeah,
choir.
Yeah, that's right. Well, we've been pretty...
Not choir.
Not choir. Well, Richie sang in the little boys' choir, the little kids' choir, but then he got to be in junior high and faded away from choir. It was a mistake because I think he could have sung, but anyway, too late now.
He chose not.
Yeah.
Well, earlier, Joe, you and I were talking about your involvement with WELCA. So can you share that in addition to other service and leadership roles you've had?
WELCA, I joined Cradle Roll, and which was a specific circle. And Dodie Mickelson was in it, and Darlene Hand was in it, and Virginia Fjellsted was here at that time. And then as the years passed, I never went at all when the kids were growing up. But in 1994, my father died, and my mother came to live with us. And so I thought she should know somebody besides me. So I joined Circle with Mother, and we went to Circle together as long as she was able. And then after she was gone, then I just sort of stayed. But it was the same group, Dodie Mickelson and Darlene Hand. It was the grown-up Cradle Roll. And I was co-president once, and I was program chairman once, and, well, co-chairman with Mrs. Nessheim. Anyway, but I still go. But we got snowed out on this past Thursday, mm-hmm. and I was supposed to have it, so I didn't. We'll just skip that one. I was congregational president for one term. That was when they were just starting to get women to be president. I think one woman had been president before me, and I think maybe Judy Stoutland. I'm not sure. I think so. And then I was president, and the church did not collapse under my leadership. Pastor Jacobson was here then, Mel Jacobson.
Yes.
But, you know, I guess that's it. We come to church.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
We're very regular. Mm-hmm. Right.
I've been on the ushering crew for decades.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And
for... one term, I was chair of the Property and Grounds Board of the church. I don't remember when that was.
I don't either. But also the church did not collapse while you were... right.
Hooray, hooray.
Yeah.
Other things you've been involved in? Leadership roles?
Well, not that I can think of.
No, we taught...
We're sort of followers.
What, 2 years of Sunday school?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, taught Sunday school.
I taught Wednesday school for one session. Well, that was when I was very young. Mm-hmm. And because it's very soon after that, they didn't have Wednesday school anymore. Mm-hmm. And I taught a Sunday school a couple times. I taught confirmation class once or twice. It wasn't always a success. Teaching was not really my thing, but anyway, I know once we were doing the Gospel of Mark, and I think I was a failure at that particular.
How do you know? What were the clues?
The clues was that I was more interested in listening to what the girls in the class had to say than they were in what I had to say. And but we got through it, you know, anyway.
So Sunday school,
confirmation. And we had a Sunday school class that met in our house once.
Right, yeah.
That's right.
It was a teenage group.
Teenage group. And there didn't have enough space in the church for the Sunday school's room. They didn't have enough rooms available. So the kids came to our house. That was in the Must have been, that was in the 60s, somewhere along the line in the 60s.
Well,
one of the Rasmussen boys was in the class. I don't remember who else. Do you remember who was in that class?
No.
I think it was Tom Rasmussen was one I remember, but anyway.
And your children were?
Little then. They were little toddlers. Right.
And you had these teenagers in your home.
Yeah,
That was later.
No, it wasn't, because we left that house, Dick, in 72. So it had to be before. Maybe our kids were in Sunday school at church while we had the class. That could be.
And it was on Sundays that the teenagers came to your house.
I think so, yes.
And did you lead the Sunday school? Were you the teachers, or did that teacher come along?
We were the teachers.
You were the teachers.
Right.
And it was in your home.
And it was sort of strange because we did it a second year. I think it was David Thompson was the associate pastor. And I said, well, how come you have that? Because you were more successful in having people attend.
We didn't feed them, I don't think.
No.
We didn't have treats.
Oh.
But I had forgotten all about that, Dick.
Hmm.
That was a long time ago. But I suppose our kids were in Sunday school.
Yeah, I don't remember the logistics.
Because I don't remember them bothering us.
No.
Uh-huh. And they would have.
So they were here and you were at school.
I think so.
And at that time...
But the other thing that was more involved, you might say, you were church secretary here for a couple of years.
Oh, yeah. I was... for about a year and a half, something like that, when Loyal Gulf was here. And I shared the job with Barbara Hofstede, and I worked part-time and she worked part-time. And that actually, one of the questions that you had put to us was people that influenced us.
Yes.
And I was greatly influenced by Lorraine Carlson, because she was working with the Oslo Summer School up at St. Olaf and was ready to retire. And she was looking for a new person to replace her. And she was looking for someone who could type and had a college education. And she was so impressed with how perfect the church bulletins were that I was helping to type, that she had gone through a couple other possibilities, but anyway, she came to me and she said, well, you know, I'm looking for someone who can type and has a college education, and, you know, there's never any mistakes in the bulletin. Well, the reason that there were never any mistakes in the bulletin was because David Thompson proofread everything so carefully, and all mistakes that he found were corrected. But she thought it was because we were so good, and actually it was because David Thompson was so particular about having it correct. And anyway, so I quit being a secretary at church and went up and worked for the Oslo Summer School for 25 years.
25 years.
So, but Lorraine was the impetus to get me up there.
That's a nice connection. I've wondered about that.
Yeah.
And looking forward to our conversation today, how it is that you got involved with
it. Yeah, it was because of Lorraine.
Yeah.
And of course, she was wife of the chairman of the math department. And I was, at that time, had become wife of the chairman of the math department. So we had a connection that went back.
Mm-hmm. And can you tell a little bit about your Oslo summer school? Just as an aside, but
that is an aside. But
it's connected to St. John's.
No, after the Second World War, there were a lot of Norwegians that were educated in United States, because, you know, there had been no education in Norway when the Nazis were there. And so there a whole generation of Norwegians hadn't had their proper higher education, and they came lots of them came to the U.S., and the U.S. welcomed them. And the people in Norway decided that Norway should do something to respond. And they decided they'd have a summer school in Norway for American students. And there was a man named Norman Nordstrom that was involved with people in Norway, and he, they worked it out. And the first year, the embassy in Washington, D.C., the Norwegian embassy, handled the paperwork of hundreds of people that applied to go. And the secretaries there said, we're not going to do this anymore. And so Nordstrom said, well, we'll take care of the paperwork at St. Olaf. And Lorraine Carlson was, at that time, they taught typing and shorthand and business education for girls who wanted to be a secretary, you know. Anyway, so they told her to do it. And so she took in all these applications and handled them for 25 years or something like that, from 1947 till 1971. And then she was ready to replace and find somebody else to do the paperwork. And of course, they typed the letters for hundreds of people, saying, thank you for your interest. Here's a catalog.
Yes.
And anyway, so I was hired because I was a typist. and I had a very nice secretary who was a retired lady named Matt Halcombe. And for 25 years, I did the work up there and went to Norway in the summertime with the kids and was registrar when I was there.
That's right.
So you went to the summer school 23 of the 25 years.
Right, that's right.
And of those, I went with her 7 times.
Yeah.
And our 3 kids went with her at least twice.
Yeah, that's right. It was a major thing in our family.
Yes.
Very major.
Very major.
Right.
And all because you were the church secretary.
All because I was the church secretary at St. John's. Right.
Yes.
Right.
And even though Pastor Thompson made the corrections, you changed them.
Well, we were very obedient.
Yes,
right.
Yes. We must take credit for
that's
that.
That's right. And we ran the stent off on a stencil machine, you know. And but we did have an electric typewriter. So
that was a big deal.
That was a big deal.
Yeah,
right.
That's right. Well, that's interesting. Interesting story. Let's see.
By the way, the first summer school was American students only.
Right.
But then shortly thereafter, they made it an international summer school,
right,
which it is today.
Oh,
right.
Yes.
People come from,
right,
you know, 90 countries. It's an amazing program. It's an amazing program. So.
Who has taken it over now?
Torald Homestead.
Oh.
Who is, sure, you know, Good Northfield, St. John.
Yes,
no.
Yes.
Anyway, you know, she's done it since 1996, and she worked with me before she took over the job, right? Right. Yeah, lots of family, time passes, you know,
yes,
it just goes on and on.
Yes. Do you have any favorite hymns or songs?
Well,
the one you like is the Norwegian.
Which one was that?
The one that you want to play at your funeral. Which
oh,
one?
Oh, yeah, but that's not a church song, Dick. It's not a church song.
Isn't it?
No.
I thought it was.
It's okay.
You do scuffo and doggy mora. You will have a day tomorrow, which is clean and pure, and it's a very nice song.
Oh,
right.
Okay. Have you written that wish down somewhere?
Oh, no, but I told all my kids.
Oh, good.
Who knows what will happen? But I don't know. Do you have a favorite hymn, Dick? I always like Stand Up for Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And my mother liked What a Friend We Have in Jesus.
Ah,
that was
yes,
her favorite. We sang that at her funeral. So, but we've never really been music people.
I haven't picked out the songs for my memorial.
No, right, that's right.
not yet.
There's a lot of music talent around here,
yes,
to take care of the music.
Yes,
but it's very nice to listen to.
Yes.
Right.
I would be in that group also.
Yeah.
Listener. How has St. John's changed over the time of your membership?
Well, it's smaller.
Used to be when, I know when David Thompson was the associate pastor under Bjorn, they had three services, and one was a modern, you know, service with...
More modern, right. You know, we never had a screen or anything like that.
No, it was too early for that, but it was things...
But the hymn books have changed.
Yes.
You know, and
the church has joined...
Right. And they changed the language. They, you know, rewrote the Lord's Prayer. And they, in, you know, we're in the circle that I'm in. We can't say the Lord's Prayer anymore, because when we try to say it by heart with a new version, as we go into it, we start to stumble back into the old version. I actually really like the new version, but it's kind of embarrassing when we start glumming. In the end. So anyway, we don't do that anymore. But we've seen the, you know, the combination with the ALC into the ELCA. Mm-hmm. And I think, what year did the ALC start?
I don't know. The one of the things that I remember about the songs were, I would say, well, this is a familiar song. And Joe said, no, I don't remember that. Then Joe said, well, this one is, I really like it. I don't remember that either.
Right.
She came from the Danish ones, and I came from the Norwegian
ones.
That's
right. So they have the wrong melody for the words, sometimes for him and sometimes for me. And then when you have a conversation with people, they would say, well, they really should fix the hymns. But of course, they meant some, and other people meant others.
Yes.
So, anyway, but now we've adjusted.
It's kind of smoothed over.
Yeah,
those,
right.
That transition
has
moved forward.
Anyway, that's true. You know, I can remember they just said that it has the wrong melody for this words. Anyway,
the one thing that I remember is sort of a story now reminds me of it. In the modern service. At 11 o'clock at the time. Paul Fjellsted at one was preaching, I guess it was.
Uh-huh.
And he said, some consider the virgin birth to be inconceivable. And all of a sudden, all the people in the choir started laughing.
So, anyway. Yeah, I remember Paul, he sent up a balloon once in church. Remember that?
No.
I don't know either, anyway. But lots of interesting people in this congregation.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, good to know.
Yes, many talents.
Many talents, yes. And lots of background and lots of people from other places. I mean, I grew up in a little church where everybody was related, not to us, but to themselves, and they had all been there for their whole lives.
Mm-hmm.
And when we came to that community, we were the new people, and they welcomed us. We had a wonderful time there. But this church, St. John's, is just made up of people from everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And some from here, too, that grew up here.
Yes.
Right? But, so you have any more questions?
Yes, one more. Do you have any final reflections you would like to add?
Well, actually, I was going to have one before that. People that we remember.
Mm-hmm.
And sort of memorable. The one that occurred to me was a fellow usher, Angus McKay.
Mm-hmm.
Angus McKay died at the age of 91, delivering Meals on Wheels to the elderly.
Oh, gosh.
Right.
That has always impressed me.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, he was a wonderful man, and he came here because he had married a lady from St. John's who was a widow. And so he came from somewhere to St. John's and was a wonderful addition.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Impressive.
Yeah.
Yes.
She married Dagmar Allen.
Uh-huh. Oh.
And did you remember Dagmar?
Yes, of course.
Right. They lived on the corner there,
yes,
by Lincoln and,
yes,
you know, Lincoln Circle, what are they called?
Yes.
Right.
I I do remember.
Yeah.
I remember them. Do you have any thoughts about the future of St. John's? Where you'd like things to go, or thoughts about your hopes for us?
I think we have a wonderful staff at this point. And of course, they're trying to bring in new people, which you have to do because people keep coming to Northfield. So,
yes, and that reminds me of another incident. When Bethel was formed, I believe it was an agreement that St. John's would allow Bethel to go after the new people in
town. Recruit so much.
Not recruit. And so we lost sort of a generation of people there for a while, which now has changed back, you know.
But anyway, I don't know. But you don't have to be a particular size church to keep on going. And I think we have a wonderful staff at this point. I mean, people that we hope would stay for a long, long time.
There were a couple of the years.
Yeah, there's the years before Pam came. There, well, we knew you knew went to school with Monsager.
Yeah.
Right.
He was this.
He was a good interim.
Visiting, what do you call it?
That's right.
But there was this feeling of unsteadiness. Mm-hmm. Right.
We lost the organist, who was the really good organist from Texas.
Oh, what was his name? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And before Ruth.
Before Ferguson? Nathan. Before Nathan.
Dan Finn.
Don Finn. Right. He went south. Back south. He was from the south. He went back south. But he was a wonderful organist. But, you know, the organist changed, the preachers changed, and
staff changed.
Staff changes. But there has to be changes. But but there's a feeling of stability right now.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And there are new people. I look around and there's people I don't know at all, but that's good because that means there's some new people. Mm-hmm. So.
Sure.
And it's good that the broadcast on KYMN keeps going, because I think that's a valuable service.
Right. Yeah.
Very nice reaching out.
Well, and they televise it, too, if you want to watch on twice a week. I think they put the TV.
Northfield Channel 26, is it? Or
187. 180. Seven, not it was when 187. Maybe it's 186 or 2 now, something like that.
That's a nice reaching out into the community.
Right,
also.
That's right. And there are people that can't get to church, so.
Okay. Anything else you'd like to add about your history with St. John's?
We've been happy here. We're pretty faithful, right?
And if there's ever a time when you have more to say, you can come back. We've had people come back.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh. They went home and thought of something they forgot to say.
Indeed.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, I thought of some things here right now. I mean, during the
as day. You talked.
As
you
talked.
Yes.
And I'd forgotten about completely.
Yes.
I remember another controversy, in a sense. I forget who it was that donated the money to gild the cross that hung there,
of course.
Which I thought was a beautiful wooden cross, square cross with the silver.
A couple pegs on it.
Silver pegs were in it. And I thought, that's a shame, to gild over the silver.
Anyway.
And the wood.
But Sovic wanted that. And then when Jen died, nobody could say no to him.
Oh, and for the architect, so maybe.
He wanted to gild that cross, and the church council had turned it down and turned it down and turned it down. But I don't know why he wanted to. But he designed, you know, that whole front. And so he must have visualized that cross as being gold.
For a long time.
For a long time. And then finally he won.
I see.
And so the cross was down, sent away, and gilded. And the gilded is the wrong word, because it's gold leaf.
Gold leaf.
That's put on, uh-huh. Right.
Well, that's interesting history. As we all look right. At that.
Another controversy, which happened before we were here. Did you know Mary Lee Melby?
Yes.
Well, Mary Lee was, continuously, but over the years, had felt that St. John's had made a very big mistake when they painted over the rose mauling on the, did anybody else talk about that?
Oh, yes, we've had several conversations here.
Really, because, yes. She said they did it while Flotten was still alive.
Yes.
Right. And he had lain on his back painting those, that rose mauling.
He painted Arnold?
That's what Mary Lee said, and she's my authority, right?
Oh.
Anyway, that he had rose mauled the beams,
yes.
Maybe in his youth, you know, because I don't know if they were done right away. I suppose they were done when the church was built, because it was so Norwegian,
yes.
At that time.
And do you know who painted them?
I think Flotten painted them.
Well, painted over. Covered
oh, no,
up.
No, no. But the church.
Leif Kinect. And when he was on the painting crew, that came from another conversation.
Oh, yeah, okay. But I suppose the council had decided to do it because they were going to reach out to people that weren't Norwegian.
And there is some conversation as a result of some of our conversations here. To see if it can be undone. That is, if the rose mauling can come alive again.
Well, if you look at it in the right angle, you can kind of see the image of it.
You're about the third, this is about the third conversation about the rose mauling.
And that's interesting. Was it new to you?
Oh, definitely.
Oh, yeah.
I had no idea. Yes.
Anyway, well, I wouldn't have noticed it ever if it hadn't been for Mary Lee.
Yeah, Mary Lee. No.
But, I don't know. I think we can leave it the way it is. Right.
Well,
effort of restoring the rose mauling would be a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, heavens.
Well, there was also some concern about changing the stained glass windows.
Oh, yeah. Yes. There was. They took the stained glass, not the front one, but the side ones out. Mm-hmm. And they could have done something different, but they didn't, and I voted against doing it, and it's one of the votes I've always regretted. But that's way. I just thought maybe it's not worth the money, but I think it would have been.
And someone recently talked about the red window,
uh-huh.
And that each each square was
mm-hmm.
purposefully put in a place to have the kind of shadowy look that it is.
I don't know about that. I like the red window.
Yeah, I do too.
But I did not ever had heard that, right?
And what did it replace?
Well, there was a stained glass mm-hmm. picture window that went up to the balcony. Wasn't that the one that was in the front?
Oh, I don't know.
I think so. I don't remember the church before the red glass. I don't visualize it. I mean, it's just the new one came in, and that's what I think
that's
of.
That's your
yeah.
moment.
But I'm sure it happened after we came.
Yes.
Anyway.
Jim and I joined in, we were married in 1966.
Were you married? You weren't married here.
No, Bethlehem in Minneapolis,
oh, yeah,
where I grew
okay.
up. But, so we have, I was away for a few years, but we've been away. I mean, we've been here since 66, so
uh-huh.
we're in the, so the names that you mentioned from the 60s are...
Yeah, familiar,
coming,
right.
Yeah, are familiar.
Right.
Anything else?
I think, are we done?
I think so.
We can go on, but you can come back.
Okay, we'll see what we think of.
Thank you, Dick and Jill Kleber, for sharing your story and your family's story as part of St. John's Lutheran Church Sesquicentennial.